101.5 Community Kitchen, proudly sponsored by Simply Good, your self-service bulk food store at 156 Morayfield Road by KFC.
And welcome to Community Kitchen. Today we're going to be talking chutney. In the last few weeks we've really been talking to great flavours, and while I think about it, after speaking about infusing different oils and goodies last week, I will share with you today, I found this great recipe for a bacon vinaigrette. Everyone loves bacon. I mean, if you eat meat, you do love bacon. And isn't it interesting, they're talking about different no meat section in the butcher's department. Now, I'm sure there's going to be something that resembles bacon because it just has that great flavour, doesn't it? So I will give you that recipe before I close for the day. I just thought it was fantastic, and there's so many great ideas that good on an egg salad, great on a Caesar dressing, lots of yummies there. But let's talk chutney. And you know, the word chutney derives from the Hindu word chutney, which is a variant of the chatna, meaning to lick or to eat with appetite. And it's incredible when you start to read so many different depths in food. And aren't we lucky now that we do have the resource for even, you know, for me, great cooking shows, great articles about the world and travel and goodies like that, because you just learn so much about what's happening out there. But the original use of chutneys dates back to about 500 BC, and the techniques used by those living on the Indian subcontinent to prepare pickles, which involved maturing them in the sun for 2 weeks, was applied to uncooked fruits such as mangoes and apples. The fruits were then combined with spices and given an acid base such as vinegar or tamarind juice, and voila, chutney was born. And this is a great article I found, The History and Origin of Chutney and How It Became Popular. So that's a great little read to have a look at that. But of course, that leads me to look at somewhere else and read something else. And that's the lovely thing about old Dr. Google there. You can find so many things, and combining that with some a good library and some good cookbooks, there's so much to read. But to tell that whole story, usually chutney was served in really small quantities to supplement other items in the meal. And remembering that a lot of people, if they're in a more poor community, they'd probably only have the rice as their meal. And then, of course, this beautiful chutney, which was it was fresh, because most pickles were a processed food, but chutneys are prepared fresh. And I've got some really good recipes to share at the end of the show, or a fantastic recipe that I use as a fresh chutney. It's just delicious. But the chutneys always delivered a small but really powerful flavour. And it was also designed as an aid to digestion. In its simplest form, the chutney is really just a paste, and it's a various amount of ingredients crushed on a grinding stone or pounded in a mortar with a pestle. And it's reasonable to suggest that the chutney is probably one of the older than any other recipe known by Homo sapiens. It was more likely invented by our hunting-gathering ancestors by accident, maybe even before cooking transformed our eating habits. Crushed berries, fruit and leaves, seeds and nuts render what we put in our mouth tastier and slowly become a habit or a preference. And we're talking here of a particular site, the story of chutney once again, but finger looking good. So worthwhile having a little Google on that, some of these things, because it's great information. But is a chutney just an accompaniment, or is it in the way that is increasingly used, an Indian counterpart to modern condiments like ketchup and mustard sauce? Chutney really is a concept made in kitchens across India a few hours or even minutes before a meal is served. It's the idea that no meal should lack in interest and no food should go to waste. But all in all, one of the things that is noted, of course, that chutney is a great way to use up leftover ingredients, to enjoy seasonal ones, and to use cheap ingredients to prepare something with lots of flavour. And I think that's sort of what we really find, isn't it? It just sits on the side, and it does. I mean, I love that. It just enhances that meal to that next level. And you can forage for them. And interesting, in this particular article that I was reading through, in one particular area where the terrain's very hilly and they grow hemp, that the signature chutney of the region is just a hemp seed based. Another one that they use in another particular area is made by crushing a certain kind of red ant. Apparently there's plenty of them there. And the ants, beside adding to the meal, also an excellent source of protein. So, I mean, years and years ago, that's what people did. It's becoming fashionable again because our food, of course, we worry about food security. So all these little insects and bugs are coming back into being to help provide that protein. But with chutney, it also provides that heat, the big bowl flavours to food that is otherwise very simply cooked. And I think that everything from rice to the protein, pork or beef or fish or chicken to veggies, the chutney, which is usually made with green chilies, fermented soybean paste, fermented fishes, fermented fish adds the heat and the spice. And I think that looking at all the different types of ingredients now that we use, you know, tomatoes, gingers, chilies, cabbage, you know, we've put so many different things into our preserves, but years ago they would have just had that really, really basic. Depending on what was in the region, we sort of tend to shop and scour from a broad range of goodies. But I'd love the idea of trying some of those very base with the rice. It really would be quite interesting. But evidently what happened is they had a particular gentleman, who took the concept of chutney from the Indian shores and turned it into what is now, you know, major grey chutneys and all those goodies that we sort of have a more familiar flavour with on the shelf. But the English chutney was really quite different from what the original inspiration was, and I think that's by putting the sugars and the vinegars into that. But I think that I do enjoy them, because that's what we probably have come to know as being part of what our chutney. Nothing I like more is to have a great chutney and cheese sandwich. It's fantastic. But into to turn one chutney into a different kind of chutney, ingredients can be substituted or added. It can be roasted, fried, or just used plain. If peanuts are added to the standard mint and coriander chutney, and that achieves that really beautiful nutty creaminess. Then there's the familiar coconut, which when ground with some green chilies and a bit of ginger and tempered just with some mustard seeds and curry leaves, become the mildly sweet breakfast accompaniment that is standard tomato chutney. And that same coconut, when roasted, is made into a beautiful, more complex flavour. And these are some of the chutneys that have come out of the Indian type of cuisine. Whereas cooked mango or pawpaw chutneys were very common in the Caribbean, and these were also used widely in South Africa. So we've got all these different flavours, whereas I think you'll find that the English and the American, we have quite similar flavours. So just food for thought once again, to start to think about different ideas. So when we come back, we'll be talking about Kids Kitchen. How can they contribute to putting food on our table? It's always great to imagine kids in the kitchen, because I think it does bring them better food and eating habits. So we'll be back very shortly talking about Kids Kitchen. And of course later, the family table, got some great little chutney recipes, and of course that bacon vinaigrette.
We'll be right back with more from the Community Kitchen on 101.5 FM.
Welcome back to Community Kitchen. And of course, we're in the Kids Kitchen. at the moment. And what can the kids do? We talked last week about them helping, getting ready for Christmas, maybe making some gifts, helping chopping, sorting, squeezing, juicing, collecting. These are the things that I think children really enjoy. I love the one thing about social media is that you can actually see what people are doing with food from all over the world. And there's a couple of great little stories where different people have got their children cooking. And it is just amazing what children can be are capable of doing if they're taught. Great to have that idea that once a week they have to choose a meal, they have to cook it, and you know, if it flops the first time, doesn't matter, it's going to get better the next. But even if it's a grilled sandwich, even if it is just something as simple as a cheese and chutney sandwich or a patty on a bread roll with some chutneys and goodies like that, those little things that we've been talking about will only enhance the flavour, and also it gives those kids pride. But think about what you can do with some great chutneys, or we'll share some recipes with you. But I thought for Kids Kitchen again, go along that theme, same thing, getting ready for that Christmas time, that you can actually create a couple of different dishes, sauces, or vinaigrettes, or infused oils, goodies like that that you can share. And seriously, the children would be fantastic at measuring, decorating, cutting, and juicing, as we talked about earlier. I'll be back shortly, and we're going to be talking family table.
You're listening to The Community Kitchen with Annette on 101.5 FM.
Welcome back to Community Kitchen. Of course, we've been talking about chutney today, and of course, now's the time where we sit around the family table and we actually talk recipes. I have a recipe that I'm going to share with you for a fresh date and coconut chutney. This is absolutely scrumptious, very, very easy to eat, very easy to enjoy. I think the first time I experienced it, it was with some grilled lamb cutlets, but seriously, it just goes well with rice. It goes well with anything at all that you would use a chutney with, and so very simple. It's just one process. It is a fresh chutney, so it needs to be refrigerated, but all you need is 6 pitted medjool dates. Remember, take the seeds out. A generous tablespoon of desiccated coconut, juice of half a lime, 1/3 cup of coriander leaves, 1 clove of garlic crushed, and 1 teaspoon of tamarind paste dissolved in about 2 tablespoons of boiling water. Now, just remembering that sometimes now, like once upon a time when you bought tamarind, you had to actually dissolve it and make it. But now you actually buy in the jar pretty much prepared, so you can use it straight. So all you're doing is removing the seeds from the dates and combining all the ingredients in a mortar and pestle. That's a great process when you've got the dates and the coconut, and the smells are just amazing, or the food processor. And you want that in a thick, rich, or rough consistency. It is absolutely delicious. I would suggest you make a double whammy of that, because it is a beautiful flavour. Once again, as I said earlier, if you're going to toast that coconut, it would change that whole flavour. But for this fresh, beautiful, fresh and just such a lovely flavour, I'd keep it untoasted for the first go. Have a look, because the next time, if you want to make a sort of more gutsy sort of curry, that might sit nicely if the coconut was actually roasted off. But that is an absolute beautiful recipe that I've used quite a few times. And this mango chutney, I think, is absolutely fantastic. It's from one of, trying to think of the recipe book. I'll think of it in a moment. Stephanie Alexander, she shares this recipe, and it comes from a Mogens Bay Esbesson's book, Taste of the Tropics. And this is beautiful. 1.5 kilos of green mangoes peeled and sliced. I've actually cooked this with just normal ripe mangoes, and it tastes stunning. So if you can't get the green, don't worry about it. And I must say, around this particular area in the Moreton Bay, sometimes you're lucky enough to stumble on one of the stringy mango trees, and they make the best chutney. And you will find that you can probably get those green mangoes from there. But 1.5 kilos of green mangoes, 1/4 cup of salt, 250 grams, it's a lot, of tamarind pulp, 700 grams of brown sugar, 2 cups of white wine vinegar, 100 grams of seeded raisins or sultanas. I always use raisins because I'm not a big sultana fan. 100 grams of freshly chopped ginger, 6 dried red chilies, and 1 tablespoon of whole allspice. And all you're basically doing is you're going to toss that mango with salt into a stainless steel bowl and leave for a few hours, and then transfer that into a colander and drain. But the rest of the ingredients, you're just going to cook that, and you bring it up to the boil and then drop it down, let it simmer for about 40 minutes, and then you're just bottling it. Once again, we've talked about the best way, I think, to do the jars, either in the dishwasher or into the oven on about 100. I always put a little bit of baking paper on top of the baking sheet, turn the jars upside down, put them in the oven, and they'll sterilise in there. And I found that the last time I made this chutney, I poured it into, it's sticky and tacky and everything, so make sure you got yourself a nice good area to work with close to the sink. I poured it into the jars and turned the jars upside down after I'd wiped them down and made sure there was no pulp around the rim after I'd sealed them, turned them upside down, let them sit like that for about half the cool time, turn them up, and they pretty much sealed themselves. You could hear the pop going off. So very important to have those jars. Well, the heat's going to come from that hot chutney when you put it in, but it is just an absolutely beautiful chutney. So 1.5 kilo of green mangoes, and you're using 1/4 cup of salt if they're green. I didn't do that process when I used the fresh mangoes. I just used them straight up with the 250 gram of tamarind pulp, 700 grams of brown sugar, 2 cups of white wine vinegar, 100 grams of seeded raisins or sultanas. I have used dates there too, and they work really well. 100 grams of freshly chopped ginger, 6 dried red chilies, coarsely chopped, and 1 tablespoon of whole allspice. And really, it is a fantastic dish. When I was thinking about, you know, we talked last week about chutneys and how they sit on the side, it makes you start to think of some of those dishes that are just really good to have that flavour. And, you know, I know it's been killed 100 times. There's so many, in my opinion, bad combinations of dukkha around, or things are a little bit stale. But if you make a really good fresh dukkha, and once again, it's a great present, but it's a great side, or it's good to sprinkle on a really good brown rice, or on some steamed beans, or whatever. You can just use it. It's just a lovely thing. But this combination is just fantastic. So using about 2/3 of a cup of hazelnuts, 2 teaspoons of white peppercorns, 1 tablespoon of coriander seeds, 1 tablespoon of sesame seeds, 2 teaspoons of ground cumin seeds, 1.5 tablespoons of salt flakes, and 1 tablespoon of unrefined soft brown sugar. Basically, you're preheating the oven to about 180, 350 Fahrenheit. Put the hazelnuts on the tray for about 5 to 10 minutes. And then, of course, just put them in an old tea towel and rub the skins off. That's the best way to do them. And then put a frying pan over a low heat. Add the peppercorns, the coriander seeds, and allow it to toast gently, shaking all the time until you see a little bit of smoke or steam rising from the spices. And then quickly put them into the bowl. Don't burn them. Now lightly toast the sesame seeds and the cumin seeds separately, shaking the pan constantly and tipping them into the peppercorn mix, and use a mortar and a pestle, grind the hazelnuts to break them up, add the peppercorn mix and grind to the pepper consistency, then add the toasted sesame seeds, cumin seeds, salt and sugar, and mix well. It'll keep for a couple of months in an airtight container. Another great thing for the kids to do, to get those ideas going. But I think there's some things that you can. I mean, of all those lovely flavours. And then I thought about the fact that tomato kasundi, is just, it's a relish, but it's a good base for a lot of things. And I guess sometimes if I'm needing that extra bit of a taste with something, sometimes I'll just put a big spoon of that mango chutney if I'm making a curry or if I'm making something. I just haven't got that right flavour. You can add them to your dishes and it just lifts them and just gives them that intense. And this Kasundi is the same. And this particular recipe that I follow, he often uses this as a cheats curry. And it's going to be something. It'll keep in the fridge for about 3 months. And once again, it's using those same methods of ginger, about 125 grams of ginger, 70 grams of garlic, 20 grams of green chilies, 200 ml of canola oil, which I'm not a big fan of, but you're welcome to. I would probably change the canola. Tablespoon of ground turmeric, 50 grams of ground cumin, teaspoon of chili powder, 1.2 kilos of tin chopped tomatoes, 40 grams of salt flakes, 300 ml of apple cider vinegar, and 150 grams of unrefined salt, soft brown sugar. Chop the ginger, the garlic, the chili until you've got a really firm paste, warm the oil, and then fry that over a medium heat. Then add the turmeric, the chili, the ginger powder. Toast for about 5 minutes. Add the tomatoes, the salt and the vinegar and sugar. Bring to a boil. Simmer for about 1.5 hours. When the oil has risen to the top and the mixture looks like a curry, that pickle's ready. Turn off the heat and once again, put that into the jars. Now, these are things that are fantastic. They really do enhance, a bit like a chutney. They just give it that little bit of a boost along. And that's what we like about food, isn't it, as people who enjoy eating and cooking, just that little bit of a boost to what could be a normal, simple meal. But before I go, I have to share this bacon vinaigrette because it's yummy, it looks good, and I think it'd be fantastic on salad with some croutons, maybe some parmesan, a little bit of greens. They use about 100 grams of bacon or pancetta, 2 French shallots, 30 ml of whiskey, 40 ml of sherry vinegar, about a few drops of Tabasco or a spicy chili sauce, and about 6 drops of Worcestershire sauce. And making the dressing's pretty easy. You get that bacon and toss it for a few minutes until it's brown. Add the shallots and cook for another 2 minutes. Then add the whiskey and bubble away until it's reduced to a glaze. And of course, that gets rid of the alcohol too, so you don't have to worry about children. Stir in the vinegar and about 100 ml of water. Then leave it to cook out for about 5 minutes until the liquid has a really vinaigrette consistency. Add the Tabasco and the Worcestershire sauce. And you're ready. And that's just a little thing I thought I'd share with you because everyone loves a great vinaigrette. Thanks for cooking around the family table with me. And, of course, I'll be back next week. And getting close to Christmas, so remember, get shopping local. Get those orders in. Go and see your local grocer, your butcher, your baker, your fishmonger, and put your orders in because it's going to be a great local Christmas this year. Thanks for joining me.
Tune in same time next week for Community Kitchen, sponsored by Simply Good, your self-serve bulk food store.